This is the Veterinary Project Podcast, episode 040.
Welcome to the show created by vets featuring absolutely no pets. This is the Veterinary Project Podcast, hosted by Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light. Our resident veterinarians have swapped out their stethoscopes in favor of microphones to bring you the Veterinary Project Podcast, a show focused on real conversations, aimed to connect this amazing profession full of remarkable people. Through the sharing of collective stories and wisdom, and connecting over the many unique challenges we face, we invite you to join our community of veterinary professionals leading intentional lives. And now, here are the hosts of the Veterinary Project Podcast, Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light.
All right, welcome back, everyone, to another episode of the Veterinary Project Podcast. As always, Dr. Michael Bug, Dr. Jonathan Light. So, Johnny, you were telling me you were watching some NHL playoffs this weekend. Of course, you weren't watching your Calgary Flames because they're not in the playoffs. But nonetheless, watching playoffs, and you saw some interesting commercials. Tell us about that.
Oh, the dig and how I could get you back. But I won't right now. I will leave it at that. Candace and I were watching hockey yesterday. Pretty exciting. Edmonton and Winnipeg had a good match going on. Good game. And what happens is that there was two commercials that came through. One for PetSmart, which is a very popular retail place in Canada. And they're talking about all things pet. And then we're paying attention. We're talking. And all of a sudden, Canadian Tire. So in the States, equivalent of Dick's Sporting Goods, pretty all-encompassing store. And all of a sudden, they're on Saturday Night Hockey talking about come and get all your pet supplies and pet good needs. And literally, I wasn't even paying attention to TV, and it piqued my interest because I'm going, wait a second. This is two commercials in the middle of hockey night in Canada. Expensive advertising section for anybody in Canada. And there's two commercials almost back to back within the same period regarding pet. And I thought, isn't that something? That's how hot our space is right now. That Canadian Tire, of all the things they can talk about, are talking about get your pet ready for summer.
Yeah, and Canadian Tire hasn't traditionally been like a pet mecca. Like when you think of Canadian Tire, it's, as you said, sporting goods, maybe automotive goods. Like that doesn't come to my mind as, oh, I'm going to go get my pet food at Canadian Tire.
Not at all. And if I wouldn't have heard it, if I wouldn't have been there, I wouldn't have believed it. But I'm going, wait a second. That's a second commercial. PetSmart, I can understand. They're a big retail brand. They're selling a lot. But Canadian Tire? Wow. That's how hot I think the pet space is right now.
Yeah. And we were laughing like that. Those advertising spots, they're typically beer commercials, to be honest, you know, like middle of playoff hockey, 7 o'clock in the evening type time slot. It's going to be beer commercials or like trucks or something, but pet food. So
pets and pet retail and everything else. Unbelievable. So with that, then what are we chatting about today, Mike? What does that look like?
Well, that kind of got us rambling a little bit about, okay, we know the pet space is hot. We've talked about, you know, you and I talk about different multiples clinics sell at. Every company seems to be coming into the space. And then we started wondering, okay, COVID obviously has shaken up a lot of things, and we've touched on that. But which of those changes are here to stay sort of in a post-COVID world, say 2022 and beyond? And which do we think maybe will go back to normal or how they were? So we were just going to kind of kick some of those ideas around, get some of your thoughts on what you're seeing. So I don't know. Maybe I'll throw a few at you and we'll kind of dive in. We kind of broke them into client-driven and vet-driven. So coming from the client-driven column, let's start with curbside. What are your thoughts on that? Is that here to stay or is it going to adjust? What is that going to look like post-COVID?
Great question. So I'm excited about this talk overall. And just as a point, this is our thesis. This is our thoughts. You know, there is probably 20 other points that we're missing here, but it's really as a brainstorm for people to think about because this is happening. more so in the US than Canada, but there's been multiple articles, videos, blogs I've watched over the last week that are talking about post-COVID. What does it look like? I'm excited about that, but we also have to plan for it. So as an example of my manager's meeting last week, we talked about this. What do we need to start preparing for when people start coming through the doors? And the first thing is curbside. Curbside for us has been all-encompassing. With the doors literally being locked, everything has been curbside from the standpoint of taking that animal in on intake, through delivering education material, through paying sometimes if we're looking at access to e-transfers, Visa, MasterCard, you know, remote card machines. So I do think if you look at curbside in the bigger retail space, this is here to stay. I don't think it'll be to the full amount. There is many, many people that are looking forward to the day that our veterinary clinics are open again, allowing people in, and that's happening, I think, sooner than later. But I think curbside's here to stay, and we're going to have to be able to work through some of our efficiencies in the clinic to ensure that if people don't want to come in, they can still access their retail products, pharmacy, and in some cases, drop-offs. Drop-offs have been great in this day and age where you can now drop that animal off at 9 o'clock on your way to work. And if we have cage space, ability to pick it up at 2 p.m., that's a curbside practice that I think is here to stay.
Yeah. And I think, you know, it's one of those situations where I know a lot of clinics were doing drop-offs long before COVID. COVID kind of amplified and then extended what curbside service meant, like all the way to, okay, you're in your car, we'll pop out, we'll talk with you. And I think you're right. There's going to be clients that were like, man, that was pretty awesome. Can we just keep doing that? And then there's going to be the other ones that want to come back. So we're kind of saying that one will stay. Some of it'll stay, some of it'll go.
I think it's going to adjust, but I think it's here to stay. Okay. Look at Home Depot. Look at the big guys. I don't think curbside's going away for the Home Depots and Best Buys of the world.
Okay. Sort of building off of curbside, because it would be the other thing we talked about was like delivery services, online access.
Yes.
What do you see with that?
Plain and simple. I think if you don't have an online access or an online platform for people to be able to reach out and get to know you better as a veterinary clinic, you are going to fall backwards in 2021 and beyond.
Yeah.
So in terms of delivery, in terms of people's ability to access for pharmacy, for refills, for food, for delivery, a must in this day and age. I don't care if you're small, mixed, or large. That is a must.
We talked about it a touch with Adam Greenbaum's episode. And I think about it in my personal life where, you know, convenience, people want convenience and they want it now. Rosalie and I were ordering, I don't remember where we were ordering from, but Skip the Dishes, some sort of food. And on Skip the Dishes, Rosalie went in, put our order in, and then compared it if we went over and ordered direct from the restaurant. And Skip the Dishes had like a 20 or it was like $20 more or something. Like enough that we were like, wow, they really tack on a good markup. But it was so inconvenient to try to order from the restaurant that we were like, screw it. We'll just order on Skip. We'll pay the $20 more. And then we were like, wow, Skip has it figured out because it was so easy. Like click two buttons, bang, the food's on your way.
And did you end up ordering from that same restaurant or did you go elsewhere to something that was more convenient?
We wanted that restaurant. So we ordered from the same restaurant, but via the Skip platform. But so the point is that restaurant has, it's one of our favorite in Saskatoon. And so it has that brand loyalty. If you don't have that brand loyalty and you're not convenient, people are gone like immediately.
Fully agree with you. And I think as veterinary clinics open back up again, that competition, and we're going to get into this, the vet-driven portions of post-COVID are going to come back. We've been very lucky in COVID, and we this is a tough world that we're in right now because the amount of animals that have been purchased that are now into homes and are going to need animal health care, we're a very lucky industry that way, but we shouldn't be taking that for granted, and competition is going to come back into play, I think, in a big way.
Yeah, and I'm going to take us on a little tangent. And I'm putting you under the spotlight here. Let's just touch on that for a second because everything cycles. So we know so many people went out and adopted pets and vet clinics are busier than ever. What do you think is going to happen when the world opens back up and all of a sudden, you know, a percentage of people are now going back to work, they're not working from home, what happens with those pets?
Short term, I think as veterinarians and veterinary team members, we all better get ready for a lot of behavioral consults, an area that we don't have a lot of strength in. I know I'm completely generalizing there, but in our own geography here, Western Canada, we don't have a lot of behavioralists. Actually, I think we have two in all of Western Canada, and we don't have a lot of advanced education in that area. These dogs and cats, especially dogs, that have not ever been away from their owners. Owners are now going to be required to go back in the office. I do think we're going to have an area where a lot of these animals are going to be sent back, sold, surrendered. I think we need to be ready for that. And I think we need to know how to educate our clients, and we need to be able to work through behavioral modification techniques up to and including different medications that are now in the market that weren't there 10 years ago. If you don't have to go to meds, fantastic. But I think there is going to be a change here coming up.
Yeah. And I mean, it's sad to say, but I do think you're on the right track there. Like, historically, people maybe aren't long-term thinkers, and no, there's no like judgment on this. It's of course, COVID comes, people are lonely. They want to bring a pet into their life. And that's great. Like the short-term story that is amazing that all these pets found homes. And I don't think it's going to swing all the way back where all those pets are going back into shelters, but I do think there will be an uptick, like a percentage. So, and the behavioral issues that may come from this could be significant. So something we'll have to watch for.
Agreed. I think with that though, as well too, I was chatting with my wife about this. The cycle's long. Look how long our pets live. So from a veterinary industry standpoint, this is not a here and there done standpoint. Those animals life cycle 12 to 18, 20 years if we're looking at cats in many cases. So what can we do as we've now seen an expansion even further of the pet being part of the family? How do we attach, we as a veterinary clinic, veterinary team, veterinary business, attach that loyalty to our brand to keep them coming back? Again, competition is going to increase that way because all of these new clients that have come in over the next year or the last year now need to find a home and a stable home. And I think vet clinics need to pay attention to this and plan for it. And there's some great people online with resources that are doing that, looking at marketing, looking at social media, looking at ways of branding your clinic as the space to come to.
Yeah. Okay. Kind of to finish up, we had 3 points on client-driven. Kind of the final point, I'm grouping a few together, but just practice management. We had talked about it, you know, the virtual, the texting, telemedicine, triage, kind of grouping all of that together, here to stay, or is it going to go, or where's that going to land?
Here to stay for sure. I am a huge proponent of this in terms of efficiency within the clinic, able to better serve your clients that may or may not be able to get into the practice, and in real time, actually really help your clinic team deal with the volume that we all want within our clinic. So I think telemedicine, teletriage, virtual reception, VoIP technology from a practice management software solutions, Whisker Cloud, as we talked recently with Adam, all here to stay.
Yeah.
Full 100%.
Yeah, I agree. You know, it's kind of, not to throw shade, I guess, but I don't understand vet clinics, you know, that are still, you know, full on paper and full on like adopting none of these things. It's like, I don't get it. Like, it just seems like you're getting left behind at an amazing pace. But
it's hard. This is change management, right? You're taking vets that have known it, or a vet team that's only known it one way for decades, and then saying, hey, you need to evolve. And they're coming back at you and going, well, we can't handle the amount that we have in right now. And I totally agree. So therefore, it is a slow, slow evolution. And the quicker you start evolving, the better chance that you do have to surviving. I think that's going to be the play over the next 5 years. This is not a quick fix. And that change management is really hard, especially when, again, right now, like if we look at telemedicine as an example, it's hard to get it into practices right now. The reason being, everybody is over the top busy. And I've used that in quotation marks. Whether it's efficient or inefficient, how we deal with those changes is going to be really hard. And that busyness factor, it can get away. It can get in the way of a lot of advancements.
Yeah. And even a bit of it's going to be feeling overwhelmed, which kind of is similar to being busy. But I know when you're overwhelmed, and I'm not super strong with tech, and then you have a tech issue come up, that's the last thing you want to deal with. You know, it's just like, you know, it gets over your head. You're already overwhelmed. You're like, you just want to, you're just so frustrated. You know, I feel like working with computers and working with cattle with people that don't know how to work with cattle are the two most frustrating things in the world.
Oh, that's so good. You and me are never allowed to go work with cattle.
No, I actually was good. I was not.
I was not. I'll be your frustration.
Yeah. I'll be like, Johnny, how about you just go sit under that tree and we'll.
It might be safer.
Yeah. Okay. Let's pivot over to some of the things that were vet driven. So we kind of had three things we wanted to touch on. The first one that kind of jumped out at us was CE.
Yeah. So we have some major conferences that have now been canceled, delayed, postponed for the last 2 years. And what have we found as a result? What used to be a fill-in for CE being online has now all gone virtual. And I think post-COVID, there'll be adjustments in this because people want to get back together in person, but our ability to learn via online video, Zoom, online membership groups. I'm so excited about this portion of our industry. You look at a lot of new grad education that's coming out in the video platform era from people such as I've got here BMS Mentors, Vet Success. I think Dr. Brooke Chambers has run out with an ER version out of Australia, which is, I think is fantastic for the price that she's charging for that. There's so many resources out there for people now to grab onto, as opposed to just having to go to Vegas, Florida, the CVMA, etc. Those are great conferences, and I can't wait to go to them again. But I also know the resources out there as a result of COVID are that much better.
Yeah. I feel like how it used to be was get 80, 90% of your CE by going to those major conferences. And then when you're filling out your forms and you're like, oh, I'm 2 hours short, I'll pick off this webinar and that webinar. And now it's almost like flipped, like all the CEs coming virtual. But I totally agree. Those big online, or not online, in-person conferences will come back because the relationship building is so powerful. Like you can't replace that. In my opinion, maybe I'm just too old, but in person, you can't replace that.
I'm with it. I'm with you. I cannot wait for the day that we can all get together, have a dinner, have drinks, socialize, catch up on the last 2 years. Way overdue.
Yeah. That first conference, whichever one it is, it'll be wild because everyone will be like, oh, we're finally free. We're finally let loose.
Completely. Yeah. Yeah. There's a lot of catch up. I agree.
Okay. Moving on. One we put on the list was AI.
Yeah. So just I really don't know if I can put this to COVID or not. I just think technology-wise is advancing such that if you look at AI in the radiology space, if you look at AI in the pathology space, so excited about what's coming down the docket right now. There's some companies that are doing some amazing things. Watch out for this space. Again, maybe this isn't just COVID related, but I think it's accelerating it all forward.
Yeah. And again, I'm not super qualified to speak on this. I've been reading up on AI a bit, and I'm totally going to butcher this, but what's that game? It's like Go, and it's a really popular game, I think, in Asia, and they have AI computers that will play humans, and the AI computer can simulate like millions of moves in seconds, and then it never forgets which moves worked and which ones didn't. And then it becomes unbeatable.
Yep. You know, we were talking about that last week. Yep. Our fallacy of our memory versus the fallacy of the computer doesn't exist in that measure.
Yeah. Yep.
It will always remember.
It'll be fascinating to think of. Maybe you snap an X-ray, and in the time it takes the X-ray to come up on the screen, an AI program is already spit out and analyzed and, you know, told you what it thinks. That'll be an interesting development.
And it already exists.
Okay. The final sort of vet driven thing we wanted to touch on was sort of wellness, mental health. And specifically scheduling. So you have mentioned a few scheduling things around Saturdays and then number of days per week. So specifically, you said you're seeing a lot of vet clinics have actually closed on Saturdays through COVID to try to protect the sort of health of their staff and because they're short staffed. And then you've talked a lot about shifting from, you know, 5 times 8 hours over to 4 times 10 hour work weeks. So is that here to stay or where's that going to land?
Yeah. So from a vet driven perspective, I think that we are going to be making adjustments post COVID. One of those pieces being that 4 times 10 hours, I think that's here to stay. I think more veterinary team members want to have that access to that, either that 3 day weekend with those long hours in between, and or that ability to rotate through Saturday. So I think Saturdays are going to come back in. We just have too much of a backlog of appointments that are waiting to be seen. And because of the veterinary shortage, again, and I'm speaking specific Western Canada here, I've seen a lot of clinics that have gone to non-Saturdays. And I think a number of those aren't actually going to open back up, but they'll have to extend their hours during the week to, again, acclimatize to the new norm post-COVID. So I do think scheduling has to change. I think what we work with in our teams related to technology and related to shortages will also influence how we're scheduling in the clinic. But I think post-COVID wellness, and we're only going to briefly touch on this today on purpose, has taken the forefront and needs to take more of the forefront. And again, is going to affect post-COVID changes within the clinic scheduling scheme. I think that is COVID-driven. And I'm looking forward to seeing what some options come out in the veterinary space look like, because this is a place where everybody's struggling right now.
Yeah. It's sure interesting how big of a difference that extra rest day makes. You know, when you think of 5 on, 2 off, so your traditional like Monday to Friday weekend off versus 4 on, 3 off, you wouldn't think, like it doesn't seem intuitive how big of a difference that makes, but it really makes a big difference to people.
It really does. And as an example for Bridgeland, we're going to that right off as soon from the start as we can. And that's what we've spoken with all of our team members. We want to be on 4 times 10 hour shifts as quickly as possible to the benefit of everybody. And there's not one person that has pushed back, just the opposite in the setup for contracts and discussion. Everybody wants that. Just to the case of being able to have that third day, that means as a business owner, I have to hire more people on, but I'm all right with that because I think we'll win in the end, because you and I both know as a veterinary team member, it's not an 8-to-5 job. It ends up being 8-to-6, 8-to-7, 8-to-8, 8-to-10. Like, these are our hours within our space. So by having more people on, you have to hire the right people and you have to have people, again, veterinary shortages specific. I think we win in the end.
And that's why like the 10 hour days are almost a non-issue, because vets are working 10 hour days anyway. Like the 5 times 8 is not 8 usually.
No. So no, it becomes a 45, 50 hour week without a doubt.
Okay. Fantastic. So yeah, we just wanted to kind of kick around some of the things that we're seeing and, you know, hypothesize what's here to stay and how things are going to look. You know, so
I'm looking forward to seeing this episode in 2 years from now. How close did we come? Again, I'm positive post-COVID, we're coming towards that end where, you know, depending where you are on, we're talking North America-wise, where you are in the region, is the opening has occurred or is occurring. Let's see how many of these client and vet-driven post-COVID interactions or changes actually happen. Thanks, Mike.
This will be like a time capsule. We'll watch this in 2 to 5 years and see how well it aged or did not age.
Well, I know somebody, you'll age well. You'll look good in 2 years from now.
Well, thank you. All right, let's end on that. Have a great week, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Veterinary Project Podcast. As a recap, on behalf of our hosts, the Veterinary Project Podcast will be releasing new episodes weekly. So be sure to tune in as we bring you more conversations aimed at helping you enjoy a life well lived. If you enjoyed what you heard on the show and you want to stay in the know, please like, love, and or subscribe to the podcast on the listening platform of your choosing, as we're available on all the usual suspects. If you know of others that may benefit from these conversations, we'd love it if you please share the show with them, as this will help us grow our community to reach more and more veterinary professionals. Speaking of which, if you are a veterinary professional and would like to get connected with more like-minded individuals who are joining us on this journey, please send an email to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com, and we'll invite you to be a part of our private Facebook group. General feedback, requests for information, or perhaps requests to be a guest on the show can also be sent to theveterinaryprojectpodcast@gmail.com. Dr. Michael Bug and Dr. Jonathan Light, thank you for listening to the show, and we'll catch you again next week for another episode of the Veterinary Project Podcast. Bye for now.